Mr. Chairman, you continually say that it used to be that both parties agreed with the First Amendment. It didn't used to be. It is. It remains the case. We all agree with the First Amendment. But the problem is that the First Amendment is not absolute. It does not protect any single thing anyone says. And there are limits, and that's important. And what this committee has been trying to do for the last year and a half is to chill the federal government from monitoring what is going on social media and otherwise out there so that misinformation and disinformation can run rampant in only Elon Musk's social platform and every other social platform so that they, the Republicans, can benefit from it in November's election. That is why this committee exists.
The time of the gentleman.
And we have gotten no evidence to support any of these allegations.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Liberty Lockdown. It's been a long time. I shouldn't have left you without a dope beat to step two. Clint Russell, welcome. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me. Obviously, I took a couple weeks off because I was, one, had mic issues, and two, a little bit burnout. If you saw my last episode, then you already know why. It was kind of heart-wrenching, but this brought me off the sideline. I'm back out of retirement, I'm back off of vacation, and I have to comment on this. First off, Representative Goldman says that the First Amendment is not absolute. Interesting. Also, he says that the Republicans continue to try and thwart their efforts to prevent mis- and disinformation. Now, I don't know about you, but if the First Amendment doesn't cover mis-, disinformation, and even lies, then I don't think that we really have a First Amendment. I don't think that I am at all interested, actually, in having the federal government in charge of deciding and dictating to allegedly private businesses what type of content they are allowed to host on their platforms. And this is the story of the week. And you, some of you have probably already heard too much about it. Some of you haven't heard anything about this, so I'm going to break it all down. I rarely do a single episode dedicated to a single topic, but I'm going to, because this is really, really important, and I don't think people understand why necessarily. So I'm going to give you everything about the TikTok ban / divestment bill that is being now pushed to the Senate. It has already passed the House of Representatives with a massive bipartisan support, which you never see, which ought to raise a red flag instantaneously and make you immediately question, well, why the heck is this happening? These guys, these Republicans and Democrats, they don't get along ever. They don't even want to talk to each other, right? But this bill, ooh, quick, less than 10 days from start to finish, and it is passed the House of Representatives with only 60 or so dissenting votes, most of which are from the Freedom Caucus, which also ought to tell you something. So this is the plan, right? They're going to try and make it so that the TikTok company, the app that so many people use, well, full disclosure, I don't use it. I think I created an account years ago. I used it for a couple of weeks, and I was like, this is bad for my attention span. I'm going to stop using this. But it's very, very popular. In fact, over 140 million accounts exist in America. So theoretically, 140 million Americans are, in fact, active users of TikTok. Maybe not active, but they have accounts. So that's a ton. That's almost half of everybody in America, which is wild because the app itself hasn't been around very long. But this proposal is the premise that they're pushing is that this app is controlled by the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party. That's their thesis. Now, I don't think that they have delivered enough evidence to prove that to be the case. First off, could it be? Yes, it could be. But there's also a lot of domestic issues that we're going to get into, and I'm going to demonstrate why I think this bill is inadequate in terms of defending the American people, and in fact goes way too far, doesn't actually target the issues that we ought to be caring about, and focuses on things that I don't think are proven at this junction. I'm going to try and be, because this is a very, this is a point of hot contention. Tim Pool has already come out in favor of it. He did an entire episode last night about it where he was kind of dismissing the concerns of the libertarians, which I was surprised by because he's has a lot of libertarian leanings and he tends to have us on a lot. I'll be on there next Wednesday. So you know, he's not, he's certainly not an enemy of ours by any stretch of the imagination, but he very quickly came out in favor of it. And he said that he believes that anybody that's in opposition hasn't read the bill. Well, I have read the bill and I oppose it. And I assure you, Thomas Massie has read the bill and he opposes it. And so does Rand Paul. And so does Justin Amash. And so does all of the greatest, I mean, if there are any great representatives in politics in America today, those three are them. I hope we can at least agree on one or two of them, right? Well, they all are opposing this wholeheartedly. So that ought to lead you down the trail of like, all right, let's dig deeper. So we're going to do that now.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?
First up, we have 60 Minutes, who has a hit piece all lined up. Just perfect timing. Can you believe it? That 60 Minutes, who just last week had a hit piece against Moms for Liberty, this week has a hit piece against TikTok. I can't believe the just unbelievable timing from CBS.
What makes TikTok particularly concerning is its relationship with the Chinese Communist Party in Beijing, the government of China. The Chinese have fused their government and their industry together so that they cooperate to achieve the ends of the state.
And TikTok is a factor in that?
Yeah.
So when you look at it, it just seems
dance videos
fun and innocuous.
Imagine you woke up tomorrow morning and you saw a news report that China had distributed 100 million sensors around the United States, and that any time an American walked past one of these sensors, this sensor automatically collected off of your phone your name, your home address, your personal network, who you're friends with, your online viewing habits, and a whole host of other pieces of information. Well, that's precisely what TikTok is. It has 100 million U.S. users. It collects all of that information.
Now, to the more astute viewer, you might be thinking to yourself, hey, Clint, that sounds like every social media app, every single one. And you'd be right, because that's actually how it works. If you look at the terms of service for all of these apps that exist, they almost all, to a man, collect ungodly amounts of data on all of us. I'm not a huge proponent of that. I think that there ought to be more rules as to data privacy for the consumer. But as of now, that's how almost every app works. So what is the distinction being made here? Well, they're saying that they work in tandem with the CCP. Well, what about all of the companies, all of the social media companies that we now have hard evidence, thanks to the Twitter leaks of a year and a half ago, that they were in fact taking marching orders and modifying their terms of service when it comes to censorship based off of the marching orders they received from the federal government in America? Do we have any concerns about that? Has there been any real hearings, any prosecutions, any investigations? Not really. Not much. Certainly not a bill that's been passed in record time, passed in a bipartisan fashion to address the concerns of the American people when it comes to their own data and their own privacy and their own security when it comes to American-led social media companies. That gets zero coverage, zero concern in the mainstream, basically at all. But TikTok, look out. Clear and present danger. Interesting. Interesting. It's kind of a truth is in the omission, if you will. Here's two congressional representative females who had some really wild takes on why this has to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today we take a stand against the Chinese Communist Party and their efforts to turn content creators in America into foot soldiers for the CCP.
Okay, and now we have Representative Swinson.
The day after we introduced our bill, TikTok went into panic mode. They lied to their users, saying Congress was going to ban TikTok, using young kids as political pawns. TikTok's gross stunt proved our point. What if on Election Day, TikTok sent out an alert saying our elections were canceled? We must act now. Today, we're sending a message to the CCP that we are going to deflate the 140 million spy balloons that they have installed on American phones. We must act and pass this bill today. Thank you. I yield back.
So did they, in fact, lie to their users when they said that the U.S. government is going to ban TikTok? Well, no, not really, given that that's essentially what this bill has the power to do. If TikTok refuses to divest itself of any holdings from foreign nations that are, antagonistic towards us, I think there's a list of four or five, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was, I think it was Iran, Russia, China, North Korea, and maybe one other. But because of this bill, they are forcing ByteDance to divest. ByteDance, they allege, is owned and controlled by the CCP. Now, it is true that in 2021, a Chinese state-owned enterprise purchased what's called a golden share stake in ByteDance, which is the parent company of TikTok, which allows the Chinese government to outvote all other shareholders. Now, I'm not exactly comfortable with that, but I'm not at all certain that that's evidence that our data is being used and funneled to the CCP to be used to then modify their algorithm to propagandize the American people and the American, you know, the children of America to make them foot soldiers of the CCP, as that other congresswoman alleges. So according to Rand Paul, 60% of the company is owned by U.S. and international investors, 20% is owned by the company's founders, and 20% is owned by company employees, including over 7,000 Americans. And the CEO of TikTok is from Singapore, not China. Now, there's an incredible hearing that happened just a few weeks ago when it comes to the CEO of TikTok. And check out this line of questioning. Absolutely mind-blowing.
Of what nation are you a citizen?
Singapore.
Are you a citizen of any other nation?
No, Senator.
Have you ever applied for Chinese citizenship?
Senator, I serve my nation in Singapore. I did not.
Do you have a Singaporean passport?
Yes, and I served my military for two and a half years in Singapore.
Do you have any other passports from any other nation?
No, Senator.
Have you ever been a member of the Chinese Communist Party?
Senator, I'm Singaporean. No.
Have you ever been associated or affiliated with the Chinese Communist Party?
No, Senator. Again, okay. I'm Singaporean.
Let me ask you.
Today's episode of Liberty Lockdown is once again brought to you by Phoenix Ammunition, the best motherfucking ammo company in the world. And I'm not overstating it. That's my opinion, but it's also a fact because I fucking said so, and I mean it deep inside my heart. Over the past 48 hours, the owner of Phoenix Ammunition has been going to absolute battle on Twitter, aka X, which you can follow them at Phoenix Ammo. By printing the tweet of a guy who he got into a battle with over some nonsense because this dude made up a story about going to like some restaurant and having a waitress write a note where she's so into him, and it's totally sounded like bullshit, and I think it probably was. Anyways, Phoenix Ammo, from their business account, calls this dude out. They go to war for the next fucking 48 hours. Phoenix Ammo ends up printing the tweet where he said that you're going to have problems with me, blah, 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 and it starts to become like some, like they're going to duel or some nonsense. Anyways, it's just the fucking greatest company in the world. I love them. They support me. You ought to support them. If you're running low, the only place to go is PhoenixAmmo.com. You don't need a promo code because they already give bulk discounts. And if you're looking around and you're saying, do I need to buy in bulk? The answer is probably yes. PhoenixAmmo.com. Could he be lying? Sure, he could be. But then he would also be perjuring himself. I know that they don't prosecute Fauci when it comes to perjury or Clapper or any litany of other liars that go up on Capitol Hill. But I'm going to say, from, you know, armchair quarterback here, I think he's telling the truth. I don't think that dude's lying. He seems as if he's telling the truth. He's like, I'm Singaporean. And this guy just continues to hammer the point. They want to connect this dot. They're trying to make it seem as if it's self-evident. It's a given. In fact, Ben Shapiro covered this on his show earlier this morning, and he is certain that this algorithm is being manipulated specifically to undermine the children of America. That is the claim. Now, he does make some points that I agree with. There is a social contagion aspect that is coming from social media broadly. I don't think it is exclusive to TikTok. In fact, I'm certain that it's not, because that would be naive. It is any sort of viral content that's happening, including X, aka Twitter, including Facebook, including Instagram, including, yeah, TikTok. Yes. Yes, there is a social contagion aspect to our cultural decay that is a product of viral media that everybody is consuming too much of. I will be the first to admit I consumed too much of it. I had to produce this episode to explain exactly what's transpiring with all of this madness. But I still think that it's not the government's purview to dictate what information I consume. I am a free person still, contrary to their protestations. I am in fact free, quite free. And you do not have the right, legally, to dictate what information I consume. And if you do, that is in violation of the First Amendment. Quite clear. Freedom of speech. I have the freedom of speech, and I also have the freedom of association. If I want to use these products or associate with these companies, I have the right to do so. And you do not have the right to dictate to the contrary. But they claim that they do. And if they didn't already have these powers, they wouldn't be writing a brand new bill to try and go after TikTok. Now, would they? No, they don't have these powers. They need this bill to be able to threaten TikTok and force ByteDance, their parent company, to divest. I think it's a terrible, terrible precedent that is going to be used to apply additional pressure, which is what they were caught red-handed doing in the 2020 through 2023 arena when it came to the lockdown era. It was proven quite succinctly that that's exactly what's happening, or what was happening at least. I'm sure it's still happening to a certain extent, but it was quite egregious when it came to the lockdowns. They were absolutely dictating what private companies were allowed to host and allowed to go viral. Myself suspended countless times. I'm sure many of you suspended, if not deleted entirely. That was a First Amendment violation. It is quite clear under Supreme Court law that you cannot use a private business to do something that you otherwise are forbidden to do by the Bill of Rights. That's what they were doing. They were censoring the American people. My thesis, and I think it's a very, very sound one, is that because TikTok is not under their direct control, just as X is no longer under their direct control, they intend to put it under their direct control, just like the good boys over at Meta, aka Facebook and Instagram, or Alphabet when it comes to Google products. Those guys don't put up a fight whatsoever. I don't think Apple does very often either, but those are the three big boys that are in America that seem to not run afoul of the federal government very often, in my opinion, because they do their bidding. Now, TikTok and X, those are the ones that are really problematic, and Rumble's kind of the up-and-comer that's competing with YouTube. They also would like to be under their control or put them under their control. So the obvious logical conclusion is that this precedent will be utilized to try and go after X, aka Twitter, and Rumble if they don't acquiesce to the demands of the U.S. federal government, which is in violation of the First Amendment of our Constitution.
TikTok is a viral psyop that was created by the Chinese government. It's incredibly sophisticated. Algorithmically, it is amazing at picking up viral content and then magnifying it. But there are editorial choices made inside that algorithm about which content to magnify. In the United States, the content that gets magnified on TikTok is the most politically polarizing. It tends to be the most socially contagious. Huge amounts of the LGBTQ plus minus divided by sign agenda are pushed by TikTok, particularly the trans epidemic in the United States, which cannot be explained biologically. That's pushed by TikTok. And you can tell the difference because TikTok in China doesn't do any of those things. And to understand just what the Chinese are doing with TikTok, really, you should pick up a copy of Peter Schweitzer's new book, Blood Money. He talks at length about TikTok and what TikTok is doing. So what they're really attempting to do is dissolve the social unity of the United States through social division.
Ton of assertions that I don't think are well founded. Can you actually prove to me that the algorithm has been modified specifically for the Chinese market versus the American market? Now, I will grant you that the content that they are consuming is different, but you would expect that to be the case because they're different cultures. Now, I think this is my honest opinion that the content, the algorithmic output that they are comparing and contrasting between the Chinese audience and the American audience, the reason that they're struggling so hard to view this in a fair way is because they don't want to look in the mirror. And I don't blame them, because if you actually look in the American culture mirror, what you see is a lot of really troubled people. People that are at each other's throats. People that are unbelievably polarized and divided. People that are depressed and anxious. People that are suffering with inflationary pressures. People that are suffering with concerns over their own sexuality or gender. I think that the algorithm in America could very well be, and I can't prove this because we don't, and for the record, neither can Ben Shapiro, but I'm going to be honest about it, whereas he's not being honest about it. He's saying we can prove this because there's different output that happens with the Chinese version of TikTok versus the American version. Well, no, you can't prove it, Ben, because we don't actually have the code, because it's a private company and we don't know. But my thesis is that it's equally likely. I'm not going to say that with any certainty whatsoever, because I want to be totally honest about all of this. It's equally likely that the output that comes from the American version of TikTok is a product of what people in America are consuming and watching from their own volition. That they saw the rise of all of the gender stuff, and they consumed a lot of it because of public school, because of academia, which had already made them extraordinarily prone to that type of content. So once they start watching it, it's a snowball, and it continues to feed them that. Now, if you were to start to watch other content and skip through all of the gender insanity, I would imagine that the algorithm would shift for you. In fact, I know it does, because I know there's a lot of people that use TikTok and they always rave about how some people's TikTok will just be kittens and puppies and, you know, butterflies and like stuff that makes them feel good. Other people will watch TikTok and all they get is really horrific footage out of Israel and Palestine. Other people will watch it and it'll be all about politics and rants of that nature. The thing that makes the TikTok algorithm so spectacular is that it just continues to force, it's not really force feed, it just continues to feed you things that you've already demonstrated interest in. It is the best algorithm in the world. This, at its core, is why the American business class, the American competition, Meta, Alphabet, Apple, they want this company gone, or they want to own it themselves. This is so simple, and yet the left, these people who constantly rail against monopolistic practices, they're not standing up, by and large. Certainly their representatives aren't standing up in opposition. AOC did, but the vast majority of Democrats voted in lockstep. Get rid of TikTok, or force them to divest. Isn't that interesting? Even though this is clearly anti-competitive practices. You are using the power of the federal government, the largest state in human history, to force divestiture. Or to ban the app outright. Now, who benefits from that? Clearly their competition, who's had their lunch absolutely eaten by this incredible algorithm. So yeah, there's a lot of money to be made for the Facebooks and the Alphabets and the Instagrams of the world and the Apples of the world. It's obvious. So you have to consider that in your calculus. And I think there's a really good argument to be made that a lot of the American politicians are receiving campaign contributions. We know this because of the 2020 election with the quote-unquote Zuckerbucks, where Mark Zuckerberg and Meta were donating hundreds of millions of dollars to Democrat candidates largely, but more broadly, just Democrat causes. So yeah, they're going to have a lot of say here. And I don't think it's any coincidence that this benefits them and their bottom line tremendously.
This has been a long time communist strategy. During the Vietnam War, for example, the North Vietnamese understood they didn't have to beat the United States on the battlefield. Far from it. They weren't capable of beating the United States on the battlefield. All they really had to do was keep up the internal pressure in the United States, push their agenda with the peaceniks, and then have the peaceniks undermine the war effort in Congress, thereby essentially handing South Vietnam over to the North Vietnamese. China is figuring the same thing. What they are figuring is that if they wreck whatever social fabric exists in the United States through the means of culture, which is what TikTok is, they create this very highly addictive, highly watchable medium, and then they control exactly what people see while gathering data about you. If they can do all of that, then they can undermine the power of the United States, not only at home, but in the world more largely. Well, the House recognizes that, of course. TikTok, first, I should first start with this. TikTok is, in fact, a viral psyop.
Today's episode of Liberty Lockdown is brought to you by Crowd Health. Health insurance is confusing, expensive, and frustrating, and claim denials are becoming more and more common. In fact, 1 in 5 Obamacare claims were denied last year, and that is unacceptable. The headache of health insurance is exactly why Crowd Health was created. It's not health insurance. It's a better way to pay for healthcare through crowdfunding. So stop sending money to big insurance companies who profit off of not paying your bills and check out Crowd Health. For just $175 for an individual or $575 for a family of four or more, you'll get access to a community of people who are willing to help out in the event of an emergency. You'll get access to telemedicine visits, discounted prescriptions, and so much more without doctors' networks getting in the way. And of course, you'll join the crowd, a group of members just like you who want to help pay for each other's unexpected medical events. Let Crowd Health help with your healthcare needs. Get started today for just $99 per month for your first 3 months by using code LOCKDOWN at joincrowdhealth.com. Again, that's all one word, LOCKDOWN at joincrowdhealth.com. Crowd Health is not health insurance. Learn more at joincrowdhealth.com. That's joincrowdhealth.com, code LOCKDOWN. But all the other apps aren't. Ben, come on, man. But I think the point I wanted to make about that is I find it really insulting that his thesis is that the peaceniks in America are always just a product of manipulation. We can't just think for ourselves that war's not good, and I'd like to not be a participant in that. No, no. This is a product of the Vietnamese psyoping the American people. They knew that they just had to allow the peace or force feed enough, I don't know, negative information about the war that it would bolster the cause of the peaceniks in America, that it would ultimately get America to withdraw, as if there was really value in that war in the first place. But now the same exact logic is being applied in this non-war. I think we're not at war with China. I hope we're not at war with China. If we are, I'd like to be told, because that's how the congressional representatives are acting. I mean, think about how crazy this is. We receive hundreds of billions, probably trillions of dollars worth of goods from China, certainly over a multi-year period, maybe even annually. I don't know exactly, but huge, huge trading partner of ours. They also own an extraordinary amount of our debt, of our treasury bills. So are we at war with them? What about the fact that we were funding some nefarious research over in China, in their labs there, their top security labs? Would you be doing that with an enemy? Moreover, would you be doing that with a nation that you're at war with? Active war? Probably not. So are they our enemy? I think, like, from the American libertarian vantage point, or even the conservative vantage point, I would say clearly, we don't want to be ruled by China. I totally agree with that statement. However, what's the evidence that they are our enemy, or our government's enemy, I should say? Like, what are they doing? Because just a year or so ago, there was viral stories about these Chinese spy balloons that were floating from Montana, crossing all across the country, allegedly photographing our military bases and all sorts of stuff like that. And they didn't shoot it down. They just left that little guy float along. No big deal. So they're our enemy, though? Okay. I mean, I guess so. I don't know. You guys aren't acting like it. You allow them to purchase farmland in America. Now, I'm personally not in opposition to that, as long as it's reasonable. As long as they don't purchase, 15% of our farmland, then I might go like, all right, we need to have a serious discussion about what's happening here. But as of now, it's not very much. So it's like, well, if we are at war with them, why the hell are you doing that? Okay, how about in January? In January alone, over 10,000 Chinese migrants came across the southern border, according to CBP data. Now, I'm not saying any of them are enemy combatants. I don't know. Nobody knows. But if we're at war with them, that would be of grave concern. And in fact, you would almost certainly shut down the border to prevent that from continuing. But you haven't. You haven't. You haven't put your foot down when it comes to China at all. And yet, when it comes to their app, just this one app that happens to be the top competitor to some of the biggest campaign contributors to all of you in Congress, all of a sudden you have a backbone. All of a sudden, you're courageous and patriotic and take it to the Chinese. We got to stop them here. Where was that energy with any of these other issues? Now, I'm not even saying definitively that those are issues that we ought to be sincerely concerned about because I don't know. But you can't have it both ways. You have to be consistent. If we are at war with China, as you are acting, well, then where is your track record demonstrating as such? Because last I checked, when Donald Trump tried to put sanctions and tried to put tariffs on China, y'all were like, this is bad. This is dangerous. We shouldn't be doing this. This is protectionism and da-da-da-da-da. Which, by the way, I agree with you. I don't want to put tariffs because it's ultimately a tax on the American consumer. But setting that aside, where was that energy then? What about when he was describing the virus as coming from China and you guys called him a racist? Well, if we're at war with them, you shouldn't have a concern with that. Now, would you? Weird, right? Very, very weird. You only perceive them to be an enemy when it comes to this app.
Honestly, like a shockingly good thing. Apparently, Congress has now voted overwhelmingly to ban ByteDance from owning TikTok in the United States. The vote was 352 to 65. One member voted present. That act, which was originally pushed, as we say, by Representatives Gallagher and Krishnamoorthy of the House Select Committee on Chinese Communist Party, it took about a week and a half for it to pass. TikTok has been using all of its powers in an attempt to push people not to vote in favor of forcing ByteDance's divestment. Now, this doesn't mean TikTok dies. It means that ByteDance is going to have to sell its share to an American company, which would make TikTok significantly less of a threat to national security. Certainly wouldn't be any more of a threat to national security than other American-owned social media companies. And we can have a whole conversation about the threat to America's elections and national security that such companies pose in the United States, but it is way worse when the Chinese Communist Party is controlling one.
Now, that's an interesting argument. Is it way worse? Now, I'm not saying it's a good thing either way. If it is true, which you have not proven still, if it is true that the CCP has full access to all of our data from TikTok and they are using that and they are manipulating our minds by force feeding us content that ultimately divides us and makes us question our sexuality and all sorts of stuff, right? If that's true, that's bad. But to claim, just make the claim without evidence, that it is in fact way, way worse to have the CCP have the exact same controls that the American corporations that have all of the social media apps, as well as the American federal government, which we all know has incredibly cozy relationships with the big tech companies. Why is that distinctly worse? Prove out the claim. Because the reality is, last I checked, the CCP doesn't have much control over me in terms of threat of violence, in terms of imprisonment, in terms of fining me or taxing me or spying on me. I mean, I guess you could argue that they're spying on me through TikTok if your thesis is correct, but that's the extent of their control. Or they can propagandize me. Okay, well, how about all of the relationships from Mockingbird and the entire history of the CIA with the manipulation of the media in America? You have less concerns about that than you do about TikTok? Why? Why is it distinctly worse? You have to really think about this deeply. Why is it worse? Because from my vantage point where I sit, it is clearly more dangerous for the American government to have the ability to spy on me and track my whereabouts and propagandize me because they are able to tax me and fine me and imprison me and... Right? How is this not self-evident? China has not bombed us. They have not invaded, to the best of my knowledge. So clearly, the American government has way more power over me than the CCP does. So it ought to be a primary concern, not secondary. But it's a footnote to Ben Shapiro's rant. Interesting. Now let's hear from the ADL as to why that may be.
But we need to talk about TikTok. TikTok, if you will, it is the 24/7 news channel of so many of our young people, and it's like Al Jazeera on steroids, amplifying, in intensifying the anti-Semitism and the anti-Zion with no repercussions.
Now, that may be the key. Huh? Don't you think? Just maybe? What about the fact that Free Palestine has been a trending hashtag on TikTok for about 6 months now? And not just trending, but very, very high up at the top of the list consistently ever since the invasion into Gaza began. Maybe that is why there's such unanimous support for this bill. Why only 65 congressional representatives dissented. Well, over 300 in lockstep in record time voted to pass this bill. I wonder. Now, can I prove that? No. I can't prove that that's the driving factor. But I can say definitively that there's a lot of influence being peddled here. And Mr. Greenblatt makes it quite clear that it's the that they've been propagating. It's basically Al Jazeera, as he said. Now, I think that at its core, the real issue here is that American corporations, but moreover, the American government really wants to have control over the media that we consume. This is why they have fought so hard for so many decades to manipulate the news, which is what they've done with Mockingbird and other projects that paid incredible dividends. Now, they don't just do that to the American people. They also do it to foreign countries, but they certainly do it to us. And with the reauthorization of Smith-Mundt, I think it was 2011, it legalized their ability to propagandize the American people. It took what used to be only under the purview for the CIA, or at least permissible by the CIA, to apply to the rest of the world, they can now do to us domestically. And I don't know about you, but I certainly feel as if civilization has gotten really fucked up over the past 13 years since that bill, since that reauthorization got passed. The Modernization Act of Smith-Mundt. That, dear friends, ought to be something we're having a serious conversation about. Because at its core, I believe strongly that is why we have so much propaganda that is being fed to us and why we are so divided, why the racial relations and relations between the sexes and everything else has fallen apart is because we are being opt, because it is now legal to do so. But Ben Shapiro wants you to think that the CCP is clearly a bigger danger. Not just CCP, but an app named TikTok. It's a bigger danger. It's a bigger danger than the FBI, which we now know was spying on Donald Trump before he was even the president of the United States. No concerns with that? Ben, alleged conservative Zion, the leader, that was a Freudian slip, the leader of the conservative movement in America, and you're more concerned about the CCP than you are the fact that your former Republican president was being spied on by the FBI? How about when they concocted the Steele dossier? How about when they lied about him being an agent of Russia? Not a bigger concern to you? Is it a 1B? Is it just beneath the CCP? Because it really ought to be at the top of your list, if you're being honest. But I don't think you are, because I don't think your priority is America. Just being honest, I don't believe it is. Because if it were, that would be just unbelievably reprehensible. And you would view it as being as egregious an act against our rights as Americans, as free people, as I do. But you don't. Now I have to ask why. And I won't answer it because I don't know for sure. But it proves a level of disingenuousness, or at least it demonstrates a prioritization that is distinctly different from your alleged principles.
First of all, this is not a ban on TikTok. I'm a grandmother of teenagers. I understand the entertainment value, the educational value, communication value, the business value for some business on this. This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe, a winner.
What?
I agree with you on that one, Ben. What? I have no idea what you said. Tic-tac-toe, a winner. But, first off, when Nancy Pelosi, Swamp Monster, says this is not a ban on TikTok, she's lying. if ByteDance doesn't divest, it gets banned in America. They will not be allowed to operate here. The CEO of TikTok, the Singaporean guy from earlier, said today that it is a ban. That's how they're perceiving it, because they're not going to divest. Now, a lot of people have said, well, if they refuse to divest, then that's just evidence that they that this is clearly a spy app and blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't. It doesn't clearly show that. They have the rest of the world, and they still believe that the property that they own is valuable enough that even without the American market, they're not going to relinquish it, because they believe that it's going to continue to grow in value. Now, that's a bet. That's a wager. I don't know if they're right. But clearly, they have a huge lead algorithmically over the other social media apps, and in terms of users and virality and probably user time. I don't know for sure, but they see it as a massive value. So it can be a ban. It very much can be a ban. It is a ban or divestiture. There's an or there, but if they don't divest, it's a ban. So she's just flatly lying. It can absolutely amount to a ban. And if that happens, that means that you are removing 140 million Americans' right to voice their opinions, thoughts on whatever matter. But more importantly, from my vantage point, is the entrepreneurs that have made a massive, you know, windfall living through TikTok. And I'm not just talking about people who dance and say, ice cream's so good and all that garbage. I'm talking about people that actually like have businesses that have used TikTok and the viral nature of that app to create viral media that then bolsters their business. Video production and, you know, local mom and pop stores. There has been a huge wellspring of productivity and economic growth that has come from utilization of this app from the American entrepreneur. I care about those people. I don't think that it's right that you just remove it from them because ByteDance won't divest. I think that's absurd. So, is there any concern for them after you already put them through the ringer for the past 4 years, and much longer if we're being way longer than I've been alive, if we're being honest, but very distinctly so over the past 4 years, you've put immense pressure on mom and pop stores. And now you want to undermine one of their best marketing tools. Some of these small businesses have created accounts with tens and hundreds of thousands of followers that has ultimately been the only reason that they survived. And you want to strip them of that. Why? Because you allege that the CCP controls the data. Have you proven that? No. But you're just going to do it anyways. You have zero concern for the American people. Zero. If you did, I already went through the list. You would have already dealt with the border issue. You would have already dealt with the inflationary pressure. You never would have locked them down in the first place. But you did all that because you don't give a fuck about us. And we all know it. So just stop lying.
You say no ban. Why are you opposed to this?
Well, there's this little thing called the Bill of Rights, which is an impediment. 180 million Americans use TikTok to express themselves. You're going to tell them they're not allowed to do that anymore. You're going to take the company away, destroy the value of the company. There's also the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution says you can't take someone's property without due process. So 60% of TikTok is owned by international investors. You're just going to take their investment. What happens to their investment if it gets to the deadline and they haven't made a sale? The day after the deadline, all the value of their company's gone. If you don't like what they do on TikTok or Facebook or Google, don't use them. All of these information, all of these internet companies take up information. And so I think if you destroy TikTok, you may well make its competitors bigger.
Not may well. You will. You will. Because people are going to still use the internet in a completely psychotically addictive fashion. So it's going to be a huge windfall to the Instagrams of the world and their reels, because it's basically a competitor to TikTok. What about the fact that Elon and X are attempting to do the same? Well, it's going to be a benefit to them. Facebook too. I haven't been on Facebook in forever, but I would imagine they've got some sort of viral video mechanism that they've already implemented. You guys can chat below and let me know if I'm wrong or right. But yeah, it's going to benefit all of the domestic companies. And these are some of the worst companies in the world. Do I want them to be benefited? Not really. I would like there to be more competition, not less. This bill makes it so that there's less competition. Today's episode of Liberty Lockdown is once again brought to you by our friends over at Nadeau Shave Co. Nadeau Shave Co. Enjoy your shave, minimize ingrown hairs, razor burn, and irritation with their 100% recyclable and plastic-free razors. It is a single stainless steel blade made from the gods, from the Roman gods themselves. I'm just kidding. That's advertiser Reed Liberty. Veteran-owned, family-operated, NADEAU, shaveco.com. Use promo code LOCKDOWN. Get yourself 15% off the best razor in the game. As I've said many times, do not send your money to companies that hate you. Nadeau Shave Co. loves you. They support my show. You love me. I love you. Let's get in business with the best razor company in the game. Again, NADEAU, shaveco.com, promo code LOCKDOWN. Now, this is where it gets really sinister, because the Oversight Committee Democrats tweeted out just yesterday saying X, formerly Twitter, should not be platforming or financially benefiting from terrorists. Representative Raskin and Goldman are calling on Chairman Comer to focus attention on this grave problem and hold a hearing. Now, why do I bring that up? Because this is the type of smeared campaign that can ultimately be utilized to extrapolate from this existing bill, because you will already have the imprimatur, you will already have the narrow end of the wedge will already be under the glass window pane, right? And once you already have it under the edge, it's much easier to lift it. This is the concern that libertarians have, and this is what Tim and his entire cast totally discounted on IRL last night. Now, I made this point in another viral tweet just last night, where I detailed the history of bills that have happened in America and how they are always sold to us as being targeted towards a foreign audience and enemy combatants only. But in short order, we find that they are always targeted towards Americans in the not too distant future. Now, let's run through a few of them. The NSA. It was began, I think it was World War II. It was began because they were going to use it to spy on enemy combatants. Well, the NSA, according to Edward Snowden, has been spying on all of us, reading our emails and our text messages and databasing and all this insanity. Was that the sales pitch when it was first proposed to the American people? Certainly not. We had to win the war. But what does it become? It becomes a domestic spying tool. Let's continue on. Then you also have the Patriot Act. Oh, the bane of libertarians' existence. Sold to us in our lowest moment, when we were absolutely mortified and viciously angry because we had been attacked on 9/11. What did they sell it to us as? Well, it was additional tools that allowed them to surveil enemy combatants once again. What do we find not too long after that? Well, now it's being used against Trump supporters, of all people. Might I add, libertarians, and just broadly people that believe in the Bill of Rights. Does that concern you? It ought to, right? So you have those two examples. I can go on forever. Every bill is sold as being good for us and bad for our enemies. But when you realize, and I think that this is the point that I'm most disappointed in Tim and everybody else that seems to support this bill, is that they still perceive our government to be our defender, that they're our benefactor, that they like us in any form or fashion. It couldn't be further from the truth. How much more evidence do you need? You were just lied to and locked down for years. I could go on, but I'd like to keep this episode up, so I'm not gonna. Point being, how are you still buying the lies? How are you still buying their thesis as to this is about protecting you? This is about, you know, we don't want your kids to be gender confused. They don't give a shit about that. Now, let's play this out. If they divest, which they might, if it passes the Senate, it'll certainly be signed by Biden, and ByteDance divests. Do you think that TikTok's going to go away? No. It's still going to be here. The only difference is that maybe if your thesis is right, that the CCP was controlling the algorithm, well, now the fucking CIA will be. A huge upgrade. Do you think that it's going to stop dividing us based off of gender and race and all these other immutable characteristics that we shouldn't be fighting over? No. No, they're not going to stop that. Has it stopped on the other apps? No, it hasn't. So what are we even talking about? This is nonsense. But I think that the truth is that this benefits their ability to propagandize us more readily, more easily. They got a major black eye when it came to the Twitter leaks. They don't want to deal with that again. They don't want to have to be emailing. They don't want to have to be worrying about some sleuth reporter that gets to the bottom of it and puts a monster thread, and then this renegade billionaire Elon Musk decides to help boost it to tens of millions of people. They don't want to deal with that. They want it to be legal so that they can just do it overtly. Well, this helps them in that process. Now, what's the message that it sends to the other social media companies that exist, or perhaps potential competitors that might arise? Well, it tells them that we have damn near omnipotence in dictating what you will do. Because what does this bill actually say? It says that if this company is owned, controlled, or influenced, this is the key, influenced by a foreign enemy from those four or five nations that I listed earlier, that they can force divestiture. So it's so obvious that the next logical leap is they say, well, first off, Elon Musk for XAK Twitter has taken on Saudi capital, Saudi investors. Now, what if Saudi decides to stop, selling their oil and gas? Oh, they already have. They're already starting to do contracts in rubles and other currencies aside from the US dollar, which, as anyone in my audience already knows, that the primary reason that we've had such a fond relationship with the Saudis, despite them being a dictatorship, was because they promised to sell after the 1971 closing of the gold window that they would only sell their oil and gas in US dollars, which helped put a bid under the US dollar, which is how we became the petrodollar, as they call it. So now the Saudis are starting to align themselves more readily with the BRICS alliance. Who's to say that the president, which is permitted in this, theoretically, to classify the Saudis now as an enemy, or maybe even if the president can't, certainly wouldn't be hard to get a new bill put through that just amends it and says, yeah, we're going to add this country to the list. Like, it never is what it starts off with. We're not children here. We all know that these bills build upon themselves. So now they add the Saudis. Okay, now Elon Musk has to divest himself of the Saudis. Right? Now, what if they're not even investors? What if it's just under the influence of? Because that's what it says. It says you could just be under the influence of a foreign enemy person or nation or government. Well, then they can just say, Elon, you have to divest. You have to sell X. You have to get out. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen imminently. I certainly hope it doesn't. I've built a huge following on there, and I would really prefer to keep it. But it's a obvious threat to them. And if you realize that the federal government is damn near omnipotent and you're handing them additional tools, you ought to be reflecting on that and saying, maybe I don't want to be doing this. Now, Tim Pool and myself included, don't trust Joe Biden at all. Why would you want to give him the ability to dictate any of this? How many people in the House of Representatives do you respect? Basically none that voted for this. You want them to have additional powers to do this? Why? I agree with you. This is my issue. I agree with Tim that the manipulation of children's minds is a huge problem, but you have to start at home. That's a parenting issue, square one. And if you're not homeschooling, well, then you haven't even begun to deal with the issue. You can get rid of TikTok and just put your kids in public school, and they're going to come out super fucked up anyways. So that's not a fix. It's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid, but on the adhesive side of the Band-Aid is totalitarian control from the federal government, which you don't trust, passed by congressional representatives, which you hate. Why would you go along with this? I'm sorry. I'm going to be on with Tim next week, so I'm sure we'll duke this out. But man, I don't get it. I don't get it. If you still fear foreign governments more than you do your own, I don't think you're paying close enough attention. And I know he's paying close enough attention, so I don't understand it. It's very confusing.
Remember before Elon Musk bought the crime scene at Twitter? It was all a conspiracy theory that these algorithms were silencing and canceling people. You guys are crazy. No, when Elon Musk bought Twitter, He did keep it operating with 80% fewer employees, but what we found is a lot of the employees were trying to do content moderation, shape who sees what and how they see it, which algorithms are used, how does it promote certain people and filter others. So really what you're saying here is if you're not fully engaged with America's three-letter agencies in content moderation, we plan to TikTok you.
Bingo. Congressman Davidson, that's the truth. That's the truth. And he's not one of my favorite libertarian representatives, but at least he gets it. Now let's go to Congressman Schweikert talking about how this doesn't even fix the problems that they allege it will.
I actually am about to try to make everyone mad. Yay! I actually believe data is a private property right. It belongs to you as an American citizen. The problem with our design here, it's really well-meaning, but it doesn't get at the structural problem. So you have an entity over here, they divest. What makes them not then take the data, sell it to a data broker, and it gets washed and ends up still in the bad actor's hands? You gotta understand, there's even articles out in this week of even our own three-letter agencies buying their data now from data brokers instead of doing the tracking. We need to think dramatically more globally. Your data is a private property right. That will be the only way we end up protecting ourselves from bad actors and sometimes even our own selves.
Time has expired.
And with that, I yield back.
And he got talked over at the end there, but the key point, other than the property rights, which I think is the framework that we ought to be going into, but he said at the end when he got stepped on, he said, even from ourselves. We're not just going to protect ourselves from foreign enemy governments. We need to protect us, the American people, from ourselves, the federal government. That's the key. That's the key. If you want to actually remedy all of this, do all of it. Do not focus, do not get psyoped into believing that this external threat is more grave or more imminent than the domestic one. That's the key. Now let's hear Thomas Massey, who's obviously great on this, as you would expect.
The gentleman from Kentucky is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know the sponsors of this bill are sincere in their concerns and in their effort to protect Americans. They've described the TikTok application as a Trojan horse, but there's some of us who feel that either intentionally or unintentionally, this legislation to ban TikTok is actually a Trojan horse. Some of us are concerned that there are First Amendment implications here. Americans have the right to view information. We don't need to be protected by the government from information. Some of us just don't want the president picking which apps we can put on our phones or which websites that we can visit. We don't think that's appropriate. We also think it's dangerous to give the president that kind of power, to give him the power to decide what Americans can see on their phones and their computers. To give him that sort of discretion, we also think is dangerous. Now, people say that this TikTok ban will only apply to TikTok or maybe another company that pops up just like TikTok, but the bill is written so broadly that the president could abuse that discretion and include other companies that aren't just social media companies and that aren't, as some people would believe, controlled by foreign adversaries. Again, we're giving the president that discretion to decide whether it is controlled by a foreign adversary. There were some people who were legitimately concerned that this was an overly broad bill, and they got an exclusion written into the bill that I want to read. It says, the term covered company does not include an entity that operates a website or application whose primary purpose is to allow users to post product reviews, business reviews, or travel information and reviews. Why is this exception in the bill? Why did somebody feel like they needed this exception if the bill itself only covers social media applications that foreign adversaries are running? These and other questions we hope to answer in the course of this debate, and I reserve the balance of my time.
And I take his point to heart. I think that this is obviously too vague, it's too broad, that it opens up the potential for things far more grand than just social media apps. This could potentially be utilized, given that the federal government has a very lengthy track record of using and abusing its own authorizations, well, why would you expect them to limit it to what they're trying to sell us as this being? You should expect them to take it much further, and undoubtedly they will. So, reject it. Don't support it. Simple as that. Now, let's include one other footnote, which I forgot to mention earlier. The AUMF, Authorization for Use of Military Force, or the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act. These are bills that were first floated, if my memory serves, at the beginning of the War on Terror. Now, what was the sales pitch then? They had to have these special powers to go after Osama bin Laden because they weren't sure where he was, and we didn't know what nations had attacked us for sure. And you know, we had to have just give the military, give the president just massive breath, you know, a huge lane of power to address the issue, the threat, Osama bin Laden. Well, last I checked, bin Laden got whacked in 2011. But the AUMF still stands. It got re-upped just last year. So, why? Because the government doesn't shrink. Because once you give it additional powers, it likes it. And it grows upon itself. We are already talking about the largest government in human history, which we already know use those powers to go out and blow up a bunch of nations that had nothing to do with 9/11. And you want to give this government more power? Are you kidding me? No. The answer ought to be no. On top of that, they spy on us. On top of that, they entrap us. On top of that, they lock us down. On top of that, they framed the former president for treason for 4 years. You trust these people? Give them more power to dictate what you consume on the internet? Absolutely not. No, thank you. Tell your kids not to use TikTok. It's that simple. Drives me crazy. Now, we got Tucker Carlson had a great intro on this. Let's check him out.
The majority of House Republicans, amazingly, just aligned with the Biden administration on one of its top priorities to ban the social media app TikTok. This amounts to the most far-reaching act of censorship in the history of the United States. It's an attack on the right of American citizens to receive their information from any source they choose. Most of us believe that was a fundamental right. But of course, almost no one in Washington will admit that that's happening. That's not at all what's going on, they tell us. No. Instead, they're framing what's very obviously censorship as an act of self-defense against a foreign adversary. And if that sounds familiar, it should be. It's the same rationale they used to spy on Donald Trump, among other things, once they designated him a tool of Russia. And as always, they're doing all of this in the bluntest, least restrained terms, because it's your fault, actually. Quote, voting against the bill is a vote for the Chinese Communist Party, proclaimed neocon Congressman Dan Crenshaw, the Nikki Haley of Texas.
I'm glad he despises Crenshaw as much as I do. Makes me feel good. Oh, man. I just really feel as if this is a trap. I mean, Trojan horse, whatever you want to call it. It's just so clearly they don't have any concern for you or your children's well-being. So you can just dismiss their entire sales pitch off top and just start circulating right back to, hey, why would they actually do this? Why would there be such massive bipartisan support? Well, you got Greenblatt that's lobbying against TikTok. Interesting. Could be the fact that there's tremendous public relations nightmare when it comes to Gaza. That's a huge factor. Could be that Facebook or Meta and Apple and Google products would be benefited tremendously by getting rid of one of their top competitors or being able to acquire it and using that algorithm for their own apps moving forward. Yeah, that's a major incentive. Like, these people don't do anything for our benefit. If we benefit at all, it's just an unintended consequence of them trying to benefit the people that they actually work for. Let's just be honest. Just tell the truth about how they actually function. They're not doing it to protect you. The border is wide open. They don't care about you. Right? Is this not self-evident at this point? Do I have to make this argument even? It's crazy to me. All right, let's go back just to prove out my case one final time. Let's bring in Edward Snowden and why you really shouldn't trust these fucking people.
Ron Wyden was confronting the most senior spy in the United States, General James Clapper, who was then the director of national intelligence, right? There's no guy higher than him. The buck stops with him when it comes to intelligence. He's testifying under oath in front of Congress, right? But more broadly, in front of the public. This is televised. And Ron Wyden asks him a very specific question about a program, mind you, that Ron Wyden knows exists because he has security clearance. He sits on the Intelligence Committee. And he knows there's domestic mass surveillance. And this is how it goes. This is how the top spy responds under oath.
So what I wanted to see is if you could give me a yes or no answer to the question, does the NSA collect any type of data at all on millions or hundreds of millions of Americans?
No, sir.
It does not.
Not wittingly. There are cases where they could inadvertently, perhaps, collect, but not wittingly.
So that was a lie. Wyden knew it was a lie. Clapper knew it was a lie. He actually admitted it was a lie after I came forward, you know, 3 months later. Here I am, sitting at the NSA, next to my buddies who I've talked to about these programs. You know, I've gone... Look at this. And they're laughing at it. You know, I'm laughing at it. And it's not that we go, oh, ha, 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 he's getting away with it. It's like, what are you going to do? These guys are, you know, they're bullshitters. The system is built on lies.
The system is built on lies. They're bullshitters. Don't fall for the bullshit again. One final note before I get out of here. Jewish Federation of North America tweeted out just, yesterday afternoon, saying, quote, "We want Congress to tell TikTok that their time is up. We're done with the lies the platform spreads about the Jewish people and Israel. Take action now." And then they have a link to an article, but yeah. So there is influence that's being applied here. Justin Amash tweets out a segment of the bill, which I think is, I was referencing earlier, I said under the influence of, I want to correct the record, it says, "A person subject to the direction or control of a foreign person or entity." So, subject to the direction of control. Is that succinct enough? I would say certainly not. It has to be way, way more clear than that. Because they can clearly, because they lied through their teeth, and said that Donald Trump was a puppet of Putin for 5, 6, 7 years straight now. Many of them, not all of them, but many of them, almost all of them said it for 4 years, but still some of them say it to this day. They could obviously make that argument when it comes to Chris Pavlovsky over at Rumble or Elon Musk when it comes to X. Okay? Huge, huge threat. Huge danger. Can't go along with that. That is totally, totally crazy. And Glenn Greenwald tweeted out, said the Wall Street Journal yesterday on the left, says it was slow going until October 7th. People who historically hadn't taken a position on TikTok became concerned with how Israel was portrayed in the videos and what they saw as an increase in anti-Semitic content posted on the app. He found far more views for videos with pro-Palestinian hashtags than those with pro-Israeli hashtags. While the ratio fluctuated, he found that at times it ran 69-1 in favor of videos with pro-Palestinian hashtags. Okay? So they're losing the PR war, and that's a big issue. Then The Economist, just today, said the proposal gained momentum partly as a result of disquiet over the app's handling of misinformation and anti-Semitic content following Hamas's attack on Israel in October. So there's lots and lots of reasons to doubt the narrative that's being peddled. And I will just implore you once again to reflect on not just the recent history, but taking the totality of the history of the United States federal government and ask yourself, do you want them to have more control over the things you read or think or say? The answer ought to be no. And if the answer isn't no, you need to grow up. And I know that sounds mean. I know it sounds paternalistic, or if I'm talking down to you, I don't think most of you feel that way. So I hope no one takes offense to it, because no one should feel that way. You should not want them controlling more of the data that you, or the information that you consume, or the content that you put out. You want them to have less control. The only way we actually get through this period is to tell the truth, to speak honestly to one another, and to ultimately find areas of common ground so that we don't come to loggerheads and ultimately end up in a fight to the very bitter end. And I hope that there is enough pressure that can be applied, because the Senate is going to take this bill up any day now, and if they pass it, sure as my name's Clint, they're going to get Biden to sign it, and this is going to be, the horse will be out of the barn, it'll be too late. It's now or never, ladies and gentlemen. Notify your congressional representative, notify your senators that you want them to vote against this, that you understand exactly what they're doing, and that it's not what they're trying to sell you on. It's a lie. Now, if you couldn't tell, I put a lot of effort into this one. I spent 48 hours just putting together all these clips and everything else. If you want to support my work, please do follow and subscribe over at, on X or Twitter, at Liberty Lock Pod. It's $5 a month. Help support the work. I'll also follow you back. Or libertylockdown.locals.com. I will be on with Guy Swan tomorrow. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, share it, especially with people that are in support of this bill. Share it so that they understand all of the pitfalls, all of the dangers. It's really important that more people understand what's happening, because the fact that this began and ended, began and passed the House of Representatives in under 10 days, which never happens in a bipartisan fashion, means that they don't want you to know what's going on. They very much want you to be in the dark. They want you to have no opinion or say, oh, I didn't even know. I didn't even know what was happening. Well, you need to know. This is very, very dangerous. So send it to friends, family, relatives. Send it to your grandma who loves TikTok. Let them know that there is a really strong reason to oppose this. And hopefully, if we get enough people to notify their senators, they will feel as if this is a political dead end and they will ultimately walk away. I know. I'm too much of an optimist. But let's hope. If you enjoyed it, also hit the like button, subscribe, and give your mom a hug. We're out of here. Peace.
Welcome to Liberty Lockdown. Please scan your barcode. Your liberty ain't gone, but yeah, it's on hold. Where did it come from and where did it go?